intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, January 23rd. Is it? Yes. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have a discussion, another discussion with Pastor Cleven Enius III. Today is Tuesday, so we have Karhun Onku Sarah in studio from the Holy Coptic Church. We know that Onku Sarah, or Cleven Enius III, Reverend Pastor, is the Calhoun Pastor of the Holy Coptic Church, right?
In the Bahamas.
Yes. In the Bahamas. I'm just making sure of that. Mm-hmm. And I have a particular discussion I want to have today, right? And just as a reminder for my new listening guest who hasn't been tuned in for the last 2 weeks, right? Where did you attend seminary school?
So I attended seminary at what we affectionately know as the Q, or the Coptic Seminary. That seminary is based out of, at the time, it was based out of Tampa, Florida, and is now being relocated into Liberia, West Africa, where we are putting a, for lack of a better word, cathedral. Right? We call it our Coptic Vatican City. And of course, in this day and time, you know, you can do a lot online. But in any event, the Coptic Seminary is where I trained and continue to train. My initial pastoral ordination, the preparation for my ordination was roughly about 5 years. And then after those 5 years, I've since become a Calhoun, which simply means that you have to go out there and actually prove that everything you learn in those 5 years, you know, you understand and you're able to convey the message of the Most High to the people. So,
and for my listening audience too, again, this is seemingly an African-based religion, right? Because my listening audience is mostly Christian oriented. We understand the Christian Bible, mostly the King James Version,
right?
Which is another version of the Holy Scriptures in general. But you have Holy Scriptures that you use,
yes,
right? And I want to know, like, where did this religion started, or when did this religion started?
So we have to be very, very aware that Africa, which a lot of people we think is a country, but it's actually a continent that has billions, a billion plus people on the continent that is not monolithic in terms of our tribal identities or even our religious, if you want to call it, persuasions or way of life. Our true religious identity was based on the environment that we found ourselves in. So you would find that when you study the various religions of Africa, depending on if a particular group of people were in the mountains, you would see that their religion centered around things in the mountains. If they were near a river, you would see that the religion centered around things near the river. If they were near the coast, near the ocean or near a lake, you would see that the religion centered around things around whatever was in proximity to that group of people. However, what all of those group of people understood is that they were children of nature. And so the high guardians of all of the cultures are called the Naturu or the Nitiru. And these Nitiru are a parent race, if you want to call it, of beings that we have come from genetically. Biblically speaking, they would say that God created, and we talked about this in the past 2 weeks, this God that created man, male and female, created he them and called their name Adam. He created this tribe called Adam. But the God is a plural, and that plural existed outside of this planet and outside of this solar system and outside of this galaxy. Before any of this existed, you had this race of beings. So the true religious identity of Atonism or Atwanism, as we know it, is very vast, and our records are not merely in books, but can be found on stone. Even biblically speaking, if you refer to the book of Job chapter 19, it talks about, I think it's around 21 to 23, it talks about a book being written in stone with an iron pen, which makes reference to the cuneiform writings, the writings in ancient Egypt called the hieroglyphs by many today, the Shabaka stone, which when you do the research on these particular records, you find out that this is the origin or the source of these creation stories, the wars in the heavens, plural, because there's more than one heaven or more than one constellation where these wars were taking place. And ultimately, what we do in the Holy Coptic Church as a teaching church is to take the time to actually look at the language that these scriptures were revealed in and interpret them with African eyes.
The Coptic religion is not exactly like the Christian religion I grew up with.
Right.
It's similar, but it's parallel. Mm-hmm. It's different, right? I would say God created the heaven, the earth, and you would say the Elohim created the heaven, the earth, saying it's plural, it's a group that makes up the God concept, right? Mm-hmm. And but you use biblical texts, what I'm familiar with, to teach. How is that possible when your religion just seems different?
So we have to be, and this is a great question, we have to be aware that what we're calling religion today is actually the remnant of a colonial past that we have, a past that ultimately has been used to miseducate us, has been used to misinform us, and it's been used to teach us a narrative of our oppressors. So what we call religion today is not actually religion in its true sense. It's a narrative. It's a version of religion, but it does not bring the salvation that we as a people seek insofar as we are reading the interpretation of the Greeks and the Romans, the British, et cetera, et cetera. And so when you hear the stories of ancient Africa and you hear about the original books of the Bible, yes, there's going to be some overlap and you will hear some similarities, but we have to be very clear that even when we look up the word Bible, as I've said before, the word Bible ultimately means Egyptian papyrus.
That's what it means?
Yeah. I mean, I could pull it up.
So No. Yeah. I just didn't know that's what it's about.
I want to say for those people who want to see it, okay, go to etymologyonline.com and look up the word Bible, and you will see the word biblion. And when you click on, because as you go to these words and you go to the origins of it, you'll find that the origin of this word is Egyptian papyrus. Go ahead.
So where did the acronym come from that people use?
I just think it's what do they say? B-I-B-L-E. Remind me of the acronym again.
You want me to get in trouble at church?
No. Because it's a basic instruction before leaving earth.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Someone made that up and say,
right?
Hey,
but people have looked at scripture and interpreted it in so many different ways, right? We actually talked about that on Sunday, the fact that we are the remnant, and the word remnant means to be left behind. So anybody who's looking to leave here is actually not properly reading scripture.
Wait, we ain't going to heaven?
We're in heaven already. If you go to Mars and you point back at Earth, where's Earth? They show us this. If you follow the James Webb telescope, or if you follow these probes that are on Mars, they point back at Earth. And they take a picture and they say, that little dot, that's Earth. Earth is already in the heavens. You understand? But what we're seeking to do is bring the conditions of the original heaven to Earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on Earth as it is in heaven. It's talking about going nowhere. You understand what I'm saying? So if anybody who wants to go somewhere, who wants to be raptured, a word that's not found anywhere in the Bible, by the way, but this word rapture means to be kidnapped. It means to be enslaved. It means to become prey. That's what the word rapture means.
Rapture means I ain't getting taken up to heaven?
No, you already got taken out of Africa. You were raptured out of Africa, and you were put in our instance, in the Bahamas, or in some other people's instance, in Jamaica or Trinidad or America. So the rapture was them actually taking us out of our indigenous lands, removing these original scriptures, reinterpreting them, and then giving them back to us and saying to us, if you go and look up your original scriptures, well, that's pagan. But you must only read what we have given you to read. And it leaves us wanting. It leaves us in a predicament where we're praying to adverse forces. We're praying to death forces. Because we're calling on the names of Zeus and Jupiter and Poseidon and Apollo and all of these Greco-Roman names, these Greek Olympians, these the Roman pantheon. That's who we're actually calling on, because that's the people who gave us the religion.
And can come back to that.
Yeah.
Because you're hinting towards what our conversation is going to be about. Because I know Saturday is Saturn Day.
That's right.
So you're trying to say, when I say Saturday, I'm talking to Saturn?
We're saying that in the beginning was the word. So words have power. Words have ability to affect the physical realm. This has been studied by a scientist. His name is Masaru Emoto. Masaru Emoto.
Is that the water guy?
The water guy.
And we know that story from Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You watch Ghostbusters?
I watch Ghostbusters.
You watch the scene in Ghostbusters 2 with the slime.
Yeah.
And they play the good soul music.
Yes.
And the slime is happy.
Right.
And then they play some cacophony of sounds.
Right.
And then the slime was not happy.
Yes.
We don't watch the science.
I thought it was all make-believe.
No, but if you look up Masaru Emoto. Okay, he does an experiment experiments.
With ghosts?
No. He will take
frequencies. With sound, because the word is sound.
I just said Ghostbusters.
So it's important that as we call on, hallowed be thy name. That's the one prayer that the Messiah gave his disciples. And that name is the I Am.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about before. So when you start saying Jesus, you're saying Jupiter Zeus. And if you understand who Zeus is to us, Zeus is our slave master. The slave and the slave master can never have the same God, because we're praying to be free and they're praying to keep us enslaved. And we were enslaved for hundreds of years.
Mind you, if I ask you this question, we could go off topic.
Yeah, but I know, because we're going to talk about the wars.
Yes,
yeah.
And then I was going to ask you who the Haitian people prayed for to get free, and who the French Europeans prayed for, because they said the Haitian people prayed for a whole different God.
That's why the one religion on our books that's illegal is called Obia, which is in the family of what they call voodoo. But this voodoo came out of hoodoo or hoodoor, which is aligned with the first element in the periodic table called hydrogen. And that hydrogen is linked to the guardian angelic host Atumre, who was Melchizedek in the Bible. And the actual attribute that's attributed to this particular guardian angelic host, that's what the Haitians use to run the French and the other invaders out of Haiti.
A whole new topic we got to talk about too.
No, I mean, think about it. And the power of the hydrogen bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just I was just saying, if you don't want to think about it, just sit in your feelings and feel about it a little bit. Not you, yeah, Henry, because yeah. I baiting you.
You all sound like you're talking magic, yeah. And I get scared of magic. But I
can't believe that. But that's what they did to us. Yeah. They made us afraid of the power that actually can assist us with overcoming the craziness that we've been experiencing.
I could just evoke that.
Yeah, but I'm not saying everything that's being called voodoo and obia is the power. I'm saying because that's been corrupted too. Originally, see, that's this war that we're in. It's still happening to this day. The book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says that this serpent, this devil, this Lucifer was cast down to earth and deceived the entire world, deceived the whole planet.
So let's start with that. Yes. Revelation 12, mm-hmm. 7 through 10. That's mm-hmm. where we're going to start yep. with. This is what our conversation is going to be about. Our conversation today is going to be about the war in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible mentions a war. I go on and look through the science scripts in India. They mention a war.
Mm-hmm.
I go and look at the Greek pantheon and mythology. They mention a war in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Go on and look at the, what do people then with Thor name? What group that? Scandinavians? The Scandinavians with Thor.
The Nordic people?
The Nordic people.
Mm-hmm.
They mention a war in heaven. Mm-hmm. It seems that all religions mentioned some kind of war in heaven. I'm going to read this Bible.
So, I mean, is it okay if Africans also mention war in heaven?
Apparently so. Apparently they mention it. So Revelations 12, we're going to turn to that. Revelations 12, 7 through 10 reads, "Then a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon hurled down that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him." That's Revelations 12, verse 7. I have another thing I want to read, which is Isaiah. And for some reason, I have the link there. But Isaiah says, "The fall of Lucifer." This is Isaiah. So it can't be Jesus, but more 14? Likely it's Jesus. 14.
Yeah.
Who said, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north, I will ascend above the heights of clouds, and I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, the lowest depths of the pit." So that's the two references I'm using for the day. That was Revelations 12, and the other one is Isaiah, and I just can't. Isaiah what?
14.
Isaiah 14.
12.
Which Bible are you reading from?
King James.
Because you're standing on business. He wouldn't even let me read. I read everything on this
yes.
show. But you wouldn't let me read that scripture.
Yeah. I mean, you can read it again because you read better.
No, you're standing on
business. I stand on business.
No women reading scripture.
No, that's okay. You're joining me. Now, you're a guest host today. You just sit down and you enjoy my questioning.
Co-pilot. Thing,
yes,
right?
Co-piloting it.
Yeah.
So, I brought that up,
mm-hmm.
right? Because apparently, in the Coptic Church, you all have your own narrative of there being a war in heaven. Egyptians have a war in heaven. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to say, was there really a war in heaven? And who is this war between? Is this something that we as Christians, I mean me being a Christian man, right? Something for me to say, consider that. This is real. This is no mythology, no play thing. So much people calling this war as if it actually happened. And I want to know, what references do you have about there possibly being a real war in heaven? What do you mean by war?
So combat, all right? When you go to the Ba'istanjil, which is the African book of Revelation, the book of Revelation from an African perspective, it talks about this combat, but it's found, described in the Istanjil, based on the ancient African realities found in various writings. So you can write these down. The pyramid texts, all right? So in the actual pyramids, this is around the 5th dynasty, they say, they have actual scripture written in the pyramids, all right? So you have the pyramid texts. You have the books of the heavens, all right? The book of the night. So these are the books of the heavens, the book of the night, and the book of the day.
Where you get these books from?
I didn't make these books up. These books were here before I got here. These are our records. These are books that are housed in libraries and in museums, and they've been scattered around the world so that this conversation is not as easy to have. If we had a university that allowed these texts to actually be brought together and be studied by African scholars, we would have an African. It's happening. It's happening, but it's just taking longer than it probably needs to have because we're still in a war. You understand? Part of the war is keeping the actual scriptures from you. You also have the Book of the Coming Forth by Day. They call it the Book of the Dead, but originally it was called the Coming Forth by Day.
And I don't want to interrupt you, but yeah. I can interrupt you.
Yeah.
My Bible only has 66 books. And
your Bible,
the Catholic Bible
mentioned books that
73. Yeah. And I want to know how come the Catholic have more books of the Bible than me. I have 66. They have 73. I'm going to check on the Google now to see. Aaron, you Google that. How many books does the Anglican denomination has? Catholics have 73. Sometimes 74.
66. That's the King James.
King James
is Anglican. Yeah. Forgive me. Yes, yeah. I should have known that. Yeah. The Anglicans have 66.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholics have 73.
Mm-hmm.
And you now call me all kind of different books. Where are you getting these books from?
Even in the Bible that you hold today, there are books mentioned that are not in the Bible. For example, you have the Book of Wars mentioned in Numbers 21, verse 14. All right? Which is this original, in the original books of the Bible, is the Book of Wars, which took place in the heavens. That's mentioned in the Bible, but the book was removed. You have the Book of the Covenant, as found in Exodus 24, 7, which is, again, in one of the original books of the Bible, the Book of El Elyon, or Elyon, making a covenant with the descendants. You have the Book of the Laws of Moses in Joshua 8:31 and Nehemiah 8:1, which is the Book of Moses being taught by Malach Zadok, or this Melchizedek. You have the Books of the Records of Thy Fathers in Ezra 4:14, which is another missing book of the Bible, the Sacred Records of Atzumre. You have the Book of Jasher, which is also mentioned in Joshua 10:13 and 2 Samuel 1:18, which is the Book of the Journey of the Great Crystal City.
What about the Book of Enoch?
The Book of Enoch is predicated on one of the descendants or one of the one was in the bloodline of Noah.
Yeah.
You understand? Or his name though was also Adapha. So they call it the Secrets of Adapha.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So there are books that are mentioned, and I could go on and on. There are books that mention in what we're calling the Bible today, but those books aren't in the Bible. So when you start talking about the wars in the heaven, the fact that we have African records that we haven't been taught about in our schools, we haven't been taught about in our churches, this is prophecy being fulfilled, or this is, let me say it another way, this is Revelation 12 and 9 being confirmed, that the devil was cast to earth and deceive the whole world. How would the devil do that? Well, the devil would do that by pretending to be God. You see this in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, 13 through 15. So we're still talking about the war, but let's talk about it from the perspective, first and foremost, of how it is actually manifesting in our faces today. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, if we start at verse 13, "For such are false apostles," 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 13, "for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel," verse 14, "for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Verse 15, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So these ministers who are actually agents of Satan, what are they doing? They are talking about let's go to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and then we're going to jump into the Revelation aspect of it. But Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Why do we have all the murders in the street today in this country? Because we are following a way that seems right, but clearly it ain't right, because its ways are unto death.
So you trying to tell me this mythical story about the devil is real? There's a really a devil? There's a Lucifer?
In Genesis 3:15, it says that the woman's seed and the serpent's seed, I will put enmity between, and I'm just pulling up quickly, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. The word seed there is sperm. In the Hebrew is zera. In Greek is sperma. So yes, the devil is real. The devil has a seed. You understand? And that devil from Revelation 12 was the product of a rape.
What?
His mother was of a guard of the guardian angelic host, and his father is who you would call a devil. So in the original books of the Bible, it talks about an Aryan reptilian man called Tarnush. This is where the word tarnish comes from, to defect things, right? This Tarnush, he took by force and raped a female angelic ancestor named Mylita, making Lucifer part reptilian and part guardian angelic host. And this is on page 56 of Papyrus 1 for those who have it, right?
Should I have you to pause? Yeah. You're trying to, so the Lucifer, which I read just now about, who wanted to be as put his throne above the Most High. Mm-hmm. Is this the same Lucifer you're talking about? Or is it a different person?
Read it again. It says he's the son of the morning.
I thought it was the son. I thought it was S-U-N.
No, 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 no. He's the son of the word. The word morning is Shakor or Shakar. That's the name of his father.
He's the son of the morning.
He's the son of the morning.
He ain't morning, sir.
So the reference to stars, you'll see that amongst agreeable and disagreeable angels. Jesus or Yahshua in Revelation 22:16, he says, I am the bright and morning star.
Yes, Jesus was supposed to be the bright and morning star.
And then you also have this Lucifer who also was a star because there's two lights. There's the amber light and there's the green light. You understand?
So, I'd always thought that was a title and that Jesus took the title after Satan fell.
No, 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 no. The Messiah was after the order of Melchizedek. Hmm. The Messiah, if you read Hebrews chapter 5, 6, and 7, it talks about, especially in Hebrews 5, it talks about the Messiah being after the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is after the order. So in Hebrews 5, the Messiah makes reference to being a priest after the order of Melchizedek forever. Then if you go to Hebrews 7, you learn that Melchizedek is after the order of the Most High. Okay? Mm-hmm. The Most High is a lineage that goes all the way back to the heavens of heavens, which is outside of this galaxy and was called the 19th galaxy. It's called Ilyun, the eighth planet, the 19th galaxy. This is what's in the records, all right?
There's books that say this.
Yeah, if you go to the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 9, and even in Job 38, verse 32, it mentions four constellations. It mentions Pleiades, it mentions Arcturus, it mentions Orion, and then it mentions Maseroth. Maseroth would be the constellations which are in alignment with three groups of 12 royal tribes. Okay, it talks about the 36 related tribes. This is in the concordance. This ain't me talking. This is in the concordance. If you go to Job 38, 32, look up Maseroth and you click on it, it talks about the the 36 tribes related to these constellations. You understand? Which is in tune with Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, which says that we were supposed to use the stars as a way to understand. If we read it quickly, it says in Genesis 1, 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So we have a plethora of examples in the King James Version of the Bible, so much so that when you say the word heaven, which we see in the New Testament, it's the word Orion. And that word Orion is Oranos in the Greek, but it relates to the word Orion, which again is speaking of an actual star constellation by the name of Sahu. We know it as Sahu. And those three, if you just Google Orion's belt, Orion's belt, the three stars in Orion's belt align with the three pyramids in the Giza Plateau, yeah, which is called the Band of Peace. And this Band of Peace is why when the Messiah would meet people, he'd say, peace be unto you, assalamu alaikum, or shalom. You understand? Because they were coming from this master teacher or Melchizedek called I Am Hotep, the word Hotep means peace. Hmm. You understand? So that was the school of thought of I Am Hotep, who built the first pyramid called the Pyramid of Saqqara, the Step Pyramid. Now, that's important because this planet was set up to be a school. This is still a school. But when Satan was cast here, we were warned, woe be unto the earth and woe be unto the seas, because this devil is going to come to deceive the whole world. We just read that the way that this devil would deceive the whole world is by pretending to be God. You understand? That's even in the Bible if you go to...
That's a whole nother...
I got a text here. I got a text here that conveys the same sort of concern that you have on, you know, like, where's this coming from? What does this mean, right? And the text has said to me, Aaron, you from QC, do you believe this, right? And so my response to that is, in my Christian upbringing, I was told, you don't question, it's not about whether you know this to be true, it's you must have faith for it to be true. Should we apply that? Or is that same principle applied in the Coptic church?
No. The principle as applied is Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you.
All right. The second thing I wanted to say is this. I know that European people thought that they were going to be able to convince Africans that they created Africans. And they thought, wherever the Bible came from, they thought they could use the Bible to convince us Africans that they created us. If you look at all of the cultures in the world, they all have a God that looks like them, except for Africans, mm-hmm. who've been told that their God does not look like them. Right. Their God created them as a tool for the people who look like the God, right?
Right.
I'm just saying, I don't believe that.
Right.
I'm open to believing this, because I definitely don't believe.
And the beautiful thing is, you don't have to even believe it, because we actually can show you the verses in Scripture, go to the language, go to the actual records. Again, if you have a Zondervan King James Study Bible, I have a list of actual books that they refer to as parallel doctrines. I'm just going to just quickly read what is in the Zondervan King James Study Bible, so people don't think that I'm making it up, all right? In the beginning of the Zondervan King James Study Bible, we literally put it in our Bible to use it as a reference point, but it says, again, the first of the two pages which precede page one of the Zondervan King James Study Bible, copyright 2002, ancient texts relating to the Old Testament, major representative examples of ancient Near Eastern non-biblical documents that provide parallels to a shed light on various Old Testament passages. And they got two pages of books, such as the Amarna Letters, Amenemhat's Wisdom, Atrahasis Epic, the Babylonian Theodicy, Cyrus Cylinder, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Ebla Tablets, the Elephantine. I could go on and on and on.
So many different books.
But it's in the Zondervan King James Study Bible. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like the Holy Coptic Church is the only group of people having this discussion. The people who are putting your Bibles together, they know this. But you're not being taught that. This is why the Holy Coptic Church is here as a teaching church to share these things with those who care.
We need to get back on topic, but I have a caller who's been calling for a while. I see them going in and out, so I'm going to allow them to ask their question. Then we go back on track about this war in heaven.
Yeah.
Did a war happen?
Yeah.
Who was fighting in this war? And are they, when I say in this war, is there spaceships involved or is people floating in space doing things?
Are we currently involved in this war and don't know?
In the war, yes.
In the war?
Yes.
And do angels have all kind of wings? No. Let's go to the caller. Producer, patch the caller through, please. Okay, we get it. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller going once. Call a girl twice? Nothing? Okay. Nothing? Okay, go to the next line. Caller, can you hear me now?
Hey, good day, Nuri. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Go ahead.
And good day, Aaron. And to Cajon.
Hey, good Namaste. Day, how you doing?
It's always a breath of fresh air when the Cajon is on. He's speaking truth. A lot of the stuff in the King James and a lot of the Bibles around the world, if you don't not deconstruct the language, you'll be lost, like most of the people on earth. Everybody jumping up and down and chasing the end of what they jumping up and down for. Because he made reference to Lucifer. Lucifer is mentioned once in the Bible, and that's Isaiah, I think, 14, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer is mentioned once. And the word Lucifer is derived, El Ben Shakar. Cahun said it, El Ben Shakar means son of the morning, the morning star. And back in the day, the morning star was referred to as the planet Venus that disappeared when the sun came up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see it again at night, one of the brightest stars in the sky. Mm-hmm. Lucifer's connotation was made, the connotation for evil for Lucifer was made, and the name was also thrown on, given to, supposed to be Satan, which fell from heaven. But the word Lucifer didn't fall from heaven. That was reference to the planet Venus. And I will quote to you in ancient Arabic, the language that Jesus spoke, Isaiah 14, verse 12, which means, Etnapalta, Mishamai Hel El Benchika, Magdata, Lahurlet, Al Kohim. And that is the original scripture. There is no devil or no nothing mentioned in there. But in today's Bible, you will see they have Lucifer name stuck in there, which is out of place. Thanks for taking my call, Ali.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
it seems as if there's an outpouring of information, that God is outpouring His Spirit and people are adopting or relearning things that has been forgotten. But let's go, one more caller, then let's go back to our point. And the point is, was there a war in heaven? Who was fighting and how was they fighting? Any kind of atomic energy?
How I know who the enemy is.
And how do I know who's the enemy?
Yes.
Because, you know, some books saying that the Lucifer Bay was trying to enlighten us. Mm-hmm. And then the other people, them,
and is
just trying to keep the information from us.
Is mm-hmm. this the kind of war where you could be a pacifist?
There were some who were pacifists.
Did you kick out?
Well, they didn't get kicked out. Okay, they were the ones.
That's good. That's what seems, there's hope. Let's go to the caller. Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green, and welcome to Kadak. I mean, Patricia, I forget your foreign name,
yes,
or your real name. And Mr. Nuri. You know, Mr. Surak, as a youngster, I used to get beaten for asking questions to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
My Sunday school teacher was also my class teacher in Eastern Senior and Eastern Junior.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the report to your parents when you ask them questions in Sunday school. But I had a problem because I couldn't believe some of the things they were teaching me,
right,
and why they hid some things from me. I never believed in the Immaculate Conception because I never believed that no human being on this earth ever had a child without having sex unless they did some intravenous stuff like the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to get beaten for asking those kind of questions. And I used to ask questions about Jesus and all these kind of things and about the religion. I served on the altar in St. George's. I saw some of the things the priest did. But I always wondered why our own black religious leaders who went off to seminaries and studied religion, knowing the things that I believe they know about the Bible and other religious books, kept all of these things from us. And that's what I started believing. It was all just a business. And the more they kept from us, the more we would come to church and give them that offering for them to buy them Lexus, take care of the first lady, second lady, third lady, and send their children off to university to come back lawyers, doctors, when we could hardly send our children to public school. Allahu Akbar. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, and the master. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. One more caller, forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, caller. I even stop him from talking so you can talk. You get about 30, 40
good
seconds.
Good morning, Mr. Green, Anku, Daddy Rist, nephew, and C.A. Nuri. Anku,
mm-hmm.
C.A. Nuri don't know who's Daddy Rist, okay? As a dream in you. Yeah, but listen, Anku, you know, last week, but you know, me and you discussed the doctrine of Immaculate Deception for a little while back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like for you to just answer two questions quickly. You when I hang up, just to, you know, the origins. But you know, after I learned about the story of Nimrod, you know, you heard about Nimrod, mm-hmm. when it said the Nimrod mother, Nimrod's mother was his wife, right? And so
that's
she
the way they
conceived
interpret
from the son, and et cetera, et cetera. So this is where these concepts come from. I want you to the concept of God having a son with a woman. Just comment on that. And then last week you had mentioned something that I came across a few years ago, and I want you to discuss its relevance and significance, the ziggurat. Because I read some stories in it a little while back, and I just want you to comment on it. I'll hang up and listen, brother. All right.
Sure. I won't be able to get into all those today based on the fact that we have a topic already, but we could definitely add that into the mix as we move on through the weeks.
Let's have this war in heaven. Let's go back to that.
So here's the thing, all right? And 52, some of what you ask, I'll be answering as I move through. I want to read it from the Istanjil. All right, this is Revelation 12 and 7.
What's this Istanjil?
Book of Salvation.
Okay.
Okay, this is the book that the Messiah, when you read.
Just one of those extra books I don't know about.
No, this is book of Revelation.
Oh, this Revelation?
Yeah, this is Revelation.
Okay, reading from Revelation.
But the book was never called Revelation. It was called by Istanjil.
Okay.
You understand? So before we read the scriptures, we always invoke the name of the Most High Heavenly One by saying, Bismil Rab El Khaliku El Kareem. Begin all things by way of the name of the Most High Heavenly One, and Nere, who is the Creator, the Generous One. I'm going to read some of it.
And forgive me, what language was that?
That's Tamariq. That's the ancient African.
Okay, go ahead.
All right? And so it was that there did approach me the four sons of the guardian angelic host Haru, in order that I be taught by them concerning the perpetual war which took place before, during, and continually since the creation of the members of humanity in varying degrees of genetic potency. So this war was before even Revelation 12. This war was, because the remnants of this war, because you ask, what's the evidence for the war? You have in the solar system what's called an asteroid belt. Mm-hmm. Where'd that come from?
It's break up planets.
Yeah, it's debris from a war.
You take that from a war?
It's just debris from a war. It's because you were having a war in the solar system. All right? Verse 48, and what they made clear unto me was that the servants of the Most High Heavenly One and Nere, under the leadership of Tehuti Mikael, did suppress the rebellion of Apep-Zuin and his fallen host. So this war is between, they say, Michael and the devil, or this Zuin, Apep-Zuin. These are physical beings. Because he was asking 52, how could God have... I think sex with a woman and create a child. I think that may have been the question. You're talking about physical beings. You're not talking about spooks. You're talking about physical beings. The four sons of the guardian angelic host Haru, namely Duamutef, Imseti, Kabesanuf, and Hapi, as African guardian angelic host, were not white melanin recessive babies with wings birthed out of the Greco-Roman Olympians. So the question of, well, did angels have a bunch of wings? No. If we had on...
I see the Bible said the cherubim have four wings and all kind of wings on their face.
Right. So these wings represented what we call Ma'at. Ma'at, the feather, represented order, justice, universal order, and the balancement of deeds. And depending on how we wore those wings, it would tell you which degree within our sacred society a person was coming from. So that's the message to those who understand those degrees. Even in the depiction of those guardian angelic hosts with wings, you can see the wings are strapped on. They put the straps of the wings on the actual statues to let you know we didn't have wings like how the Greco-Romans interpret these babies with wings. Go ahead.
If you've ever read Hiram's Key, a historical telling of the story of Hiram Abiff, who was supposed to be the first mason who built the first temple in Jerusalem. And they trace you all, they follow all of the stories, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things they say is that, look, this is a sect, a small group of people who are fleeing persecution. Mm-hmm. So when they talk in code. First thing, because they don't want the authorities to know what they're saying.
Right.
And so even with the story, the Immaculate Deception, as 52 put it, that the archangels were members of the tribe.
That's right.
With authority.
That's right.
And so when they say that the angel visited Mary, it was a real person.
Yeah, they were on earth.
Who visited Mary.
They were a part of the society, which today we know as the Asarian or Asetian society, which still exists today. It's being reestablished today.
You have angels walking up today?
What does Hebrews 13 and 1 say? Let's look at Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Because we've been so confused about who and what angels are that we're lost.
Okay, why are you looking for that?
I said right here.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Hebrews 13 and 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not, verse 2, forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. How could you entertain an angel unaware? unless they look like us.
I thought it is transformed.
You can transform mentally. You can transform spiritually. You can transform emotionally. So when you move from corruptible to incorruptible, you've been transformed into the angel, the messenger. That's all the word angel means.
Hang on. Okay, let's get back to this person who called him because they've been calling back and forth. And you get back on topic because I want to hear about this war.
Yep.
I still want to hear about this war.
Yep.
Producer Patrick calling through or you can miss the time. You're going to get because I got an uncle here. No? 5, 4, no? Okay, go ahead, uncle.
So going back to the text, to Istanbul, all right? But instead, so they weren't white, melanin recessive babies with wings. That's the Greco-Roman interpretation. But instead were in flesh and blood, bodily form, with lives, thinking, and actions of a higher, contentiously conscientiousness or this consciousness that comes with care. All right, you understand? And more advanced state of goals toward liberation. So these beings would stay focused on liberation. They wouldn't get distracted by the serpent. All right?
So where were they living, these beings? Because they say in war in heaven, and I think in that space, right? Is there a place called heaven?
So the first war was not on this planet. Mm-hmm. The first war was in another galaxy called Ilium. It's called the Heavens of Heavens in the Book of Chronicles. All right? That particular war was one of the wars. There's been perpetual wars. Mm-hmm. You understand? So the war that happened in that particular abode was one where this same seed of Tarnush, or when you read in Isaiah 14 and 12, Son of the Morning, or when you read in Genesis 3:15, where it talks about the serpent seed, they destroyed one of the moons on that planet, which could have caused the Star Holocaust. And you can reference this in the King James Version as well. They needed to come from that particular abode or galaxy to find gold to mend their environment, because what was happening was, like, you have the ozone layer being destroyed on this planet. The same way Bill Gates today is talking about hiding the sun with gold. They understood that gold was necessary to fix their environment. That's why in Genesis chapter 2, they say the goal of that line is good. They're looking for gold.
Okay, I go into the call list now, but this story sounds... What do people living inside, not Egypt, on top of there, who say the people came from that other planet?
You mean the Dogon
people? No, that's Africa. The one by
the
Iraq.
The Mormons?
No, before Egypt.
Say Iraq. No, say it again, because that's Africa too.
Yeah. Before the Egyptians. That other sub thing.
The Sumerians?
Sumerians.
Yeah.
They claim that Sumerians? some people came to look for gold.
Yeah, they Africans too.
Because remember the Sumerian, that society was built by an Ethiopian. Ethiopia was before Sumeria.
Let's go to the caller step.
Yeah.
Producer. Let's get through these callers. Go ahead, caller. You have about 30 seconds. I want to talk some more, man.
Okay, yeah, 30 seconds. You know what? They have a series on YouTube called The History of the World, Part 1, 2, and 3, or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an fictional film, but they speak about all of this stuff. All of it was they had to bring work. The goal, the workers of the factory is on Mars. You got to watch it. One of the sons who had to go to the asteroid belt and all that stuff, and somehow he make it through it. And other people tried, they died. But he ended up coming. And so even them, the brothers had a war, even in the earth, and that's how he had the flood and all that stuff, because they, there was a big war and all that, and they left and then come back. But they carry Adam and some other people, some other specimens with them. Yeah, it's all in there, so... That's a good thing to watch. Like, I take it, I believe in keeping an open mind. I take it with a grain of salt, but it's everything you all saying, and that same series. Like, it's called History of the World, Part 1, 2, and 3.
I will look for it. Thank you very much. This text says, CA, please show this brother that his religion is without foundation. Thus, he must use the Bible he condemns to lend it credibility. It is hypocrisy and irony of all hypocrisies and ironies. And please stop accepting his definition of words and find the universal understanding of them. They're challenging you.
Then you're making this thing up and you use my Bible, my good Bible, to reinforce your Bible who we ain't know about.
Right. So, first of all, I appreciate that person for listening and commenting. We're using the King James Version of the Bible as a reference to engage in a conversation with people who use the King James Version of the Bible. If I was in the middle of Saudi Arabia, I wouldn't be using the King James Version of the Bible. I'd be using the Quran, because we can use the Quran the same way we used the Bible. All right? The point is, I have not at any point in this discussion given you my opinion or given you a reference that fell out of the air. We actually are giving you the references of books, of records that are housed in actual libraries and museums and places where scholars will have to go. I've been to the London Museum. I've been to the Louvre. I've been to libraries that house some of these books. And I've touched the cuneiform. I'm not telling you what I believe. I'm telling you what I've taken money and time to actually go and study. Now, I'm not asking you to accept anything that I'm saying. I'm saying you can do the work as well. I'm here to point you in the direction that you could potentially go in to actually research these things yourself. I'm not making up words. Etymology Online is an actual website. I didn't create that website. I actually went to Oxford and purchased an actual etymological, I have at home, dictionary for £150. Specifically,
that's a lot of money.
Okay, £150.
I ain't buying that much for nobody.
Okay, I went to Oxford to buy the Oxford Etymological Dictionary. You understand? So I'm not here making up no words.
So why are you going to be so defensive in terms of accepting any new concept?
Because we don't really, we've never experienced true religious study. Mm-hmm. We think that the process we go through in Sunday school or in Bible school or in Bible study on a Wednesday night is the process of theological study. Mm-hmm. But it's far more complex than that, and it includes references from other religious and theological texts.
And I would add to that by saying, because we worship in the devil. That's why.
This is scary. All right. I need to bring you on a 2-hour day instead of this 1-hour day, and then have Aaron lead one on 1 hour, then have me lead one.
I don't want to bring the war in heaven
scared.
Down to
you're scared, Aaron.
Well, I ain't scared.
I challenge you.
I just don't know who the enemy is.
Yeah, the boy. Especially these lodging thing. Anyway, you're out of time. I got to bring you back. Yes. God in the AM, Uncle Saram, Reverend Pastor.